What is assurance in the context of asset management and an asset management system? If the system's defined as say what you do, do what you say, and prove it, assurance helps us with the last part, to prove it. And leadership's role is to provide governance. And for this, we have four elements: performance management review, audit, improvement and innovation, and decision action result tracking. Join Susan Lubell and I as we explore assurance in this episode. I'm your host, Paul Doust. In this podcast series, we discuss the who, what, when, where, why, and how much about asset management as a new and emerging discipline from a leadership perspective, using the GFMAM Asset Management Landscape document as our guide. In today's topic, episode 7, we'll continue with the last element of our asset management fundamentals, assurance. I'm pleased again to be joined by the talented Susan Lubell, who will be our special guest with me throughout our first season. Welcome again to the show, Susan. How are you today?
Great. Thanks, Paul. It's happy to be here.
Great to have you, as always. So today we're going to talk about assurance, but just let me refresh our memories here. We've been going through and talking about all of the different fundamentals in asset management. So this is big picture, strategic, and holistic principles that include value, alignment, leadership, and last but not least, assurance here. So Susan, what do you think of when we mention the word assurance in the context of asset management?
Yeah, I think one of the best ways I found to think about assurance really comes from the AMC, the Australian Asset Management Council definition. They introduced that concept of level of assurance, or effectively the level of uncertainty. And their body of knowledge really asks us to think about the level of confidence that we might have that an asset will produce its intended value. This links a lot to that topic of risk, which we'll be discussing in another episode. But the AMBOC really encourages us to think about the concept of level of assurance with this concept of the confidence to achieve our output. Organizations that are good at asset management effectively manage what-if scenarios involving trade-offs between the level of confidence, the consequences, because they're able to connect actions to consequences. You know, I like to start with definitions every time we do a podcast. So yep. To me, the official definition coming out of the GFMA landscape is asset management gives assurance that assets will fulfill their required purpose. And also says that the need for assurance arises from the need to effectively govern an organization, and that assurance applies to assets, asset management, and the asset management system. If we look at what the Australian Asset Management Council and the GFMAM landscape bring forward as definitions and ways to think about assurance, what we really get back to is that reminder that all management systems, including asset management systems, require us to say what we do, do what we say, and prove it. And assurance is one of those main sources for the prove it part.
Excellent, excellent definition. So, you know, it's assurance is that mechanism that helps us, you know, make sure we're doing what we said we do so that we meet our strategic organizational objectives and deliver value for our stakeholders. So it's really part of that big feedback loop that is so important to good management, leadership, and governance.
Absolutely.
Excellent. So what a part of the definition that I noticed in the asset management landscape document is the linking of the word assurance to governance. So whenever I hear assurance, I think of governance. And, you know, I it's important that we need a good way to communicate between practitioners, between senior leadership and stakeholders, that the organization is performing activities aligned to the strategic objectives that deliver value. And assurance and governance, you know, helps us with that. From a leadership and a stakeholder perspective specifically, you know, I think if you don't ask the questions, you don't get the answers. And assurance exists to give the organization confidence that it's doing everything it says it does as both inputs and processes, so that it can be more certain and thereby less uncertain that the value that will be delivered at the end of the day will meet the strategic organization objectives as outcomes. So we want to be outcome focused, but we have to appreciate that it's the inputs and those intermediary processes that actually earn us those outcomes. So it's not just about the the what at the end, it's also about the how. So great organizations care very deeply, not just about the outcomes, but how those outcomes are earned. Mediocre organizations, on the other hand, tend to care about the outcomes only, and then specifically shorter term, this quarter, next quarter, and not necessarily how those outcomes are achieved, or more specifically, do whatever it takes to get that next short-term outcome. And that invites short-term thinking and shortcuts that end up forfeiting potential maximum long-term value delivery. So what are some of the challenges that organizations might face, and the people within organizations, what are some of the challenges that we face in actually implementing or applying assurance?
Yeah, that's a great question, Paul. I think that one of the biggest things that comes to mind right at the top there is that our operations are very complex and interrelated systems. So we've got multiple different groups with different functions, different accountabilities, and there's so many diverse activities to track and monitor. So there's an awful lot going on. One of the key things, I think, from an assurance perspective is to look at those overall objectives of the organization and how we go about achieving them. This can really help us to avoid sub-optimization as one functional team seeks to improve their metrics at the expense of the other functional teams. We have to, if I always like to think back to the original definition of what is asset management, it's about this coordinated effort to a coordinated effort of the organization to deliver value from its assets. If each functional team contributes their own specialty for the greater good of the organization. We've all seen it where design engineering and the project teams target for lowest total installed costs, but this may not account for the lowest lifecycle cost. And the complexity of the operations also means that it's difficult to see what's going on in all those teams at once. It helps to set up the way we can gather and gain this assurance is to set up some standard processes, targets, and then make sure that we're adhering to those processes. And this gives us some assurance that we're going to aim for the overall value coming from our assets within the organization. This idea of more standardization on our processes, it's not meant to stifle our problem solutions, opportunity development, or any creativity, but we do need to ensure that our invoices and our financial controls, for example, aren't all ad hoc and done differently person to person.
Yeah, certainly. Good point. When it comes to asset management, the product here in terms of value needs to be more than the sum of the parts, right? So it's that interrelatedness and working together to create more value than each independent group or department could do on their own. I've noticed in some, let's call them financially driven organizations, management becomes solely about kind of the numbers, right? There's an asset management story which kind of describes what's really going on that kind of supports those numbers, but often that story isn't told or isn't told well, or even doesn't stick with those numbers. For example, a place I worked a while ago, typically finance would lead the periodic management meeting. So that would be monthly, quarterly, year end, these financial review meetings. And, it was always about the numbers, right? It was the numbers that we earned, plan actual and variance, right? Typical. And there was always a story that accompanied those numbers, but unfortunately, that story wasn't very strong. It was fairly weak. And what finance did effectively is kind of strip the numbers away and go away with the numbers and leave the story behind. And so the reasons why those numbers were earned or not kind of was left by the wayside. And, you know, I think good management, good asset management requires a strong and clear story, not just to explain, you know, what's going on with the numbers, but as a meaningful indicator of future performance. So I think part of assurance and the role of assurance is to make sure that that story stands as kind of a leading indicator, because the numbers at the end of the day will end up being lagging business results, right? So it's really just kind of flipping the financial numbers and the asset management story on its head and kind of leading with the asset management story. So accountability, you know, it certainly can be challenging. And all of our leaders, you know, we want accountability, leaders at all levels of the organization. But, you know, true accountability requires stark transparency, and that isn't always comfortable for leaders at any level of the organization. You know, there's always tremendous pressure for leaders to be seen good, and sometimes the messaging that gets communicated up into the organization can be a little bit rosier than the reality of sometimes. You know, our communications and assurance helps us, it should help us. The communications that we do reflect should be very authentic, you know, a true reflection of what's really going on and why we're getting or about to get the results that we're going to get. And that's kind of a reference to a quote by W. Edwards Deming that says, your system is perfectly designed to give you the results that you get. So it's very important to describe, you know, really what's going on, so that there's no surprises, right? And, you know, there's also that old adage, the CEO is the very last to know what's really going on within the organization. And really what I'm saying is, you know, it's not helpful to, you know, paint a rosier picture than what's really going on. And, you know, it's not helpful to have the message that this is fine, nothing to see here, when that actually isn't the case. So I guess this gets into the, you know, the idea of trusting people. We need to trust, but also verify. And I think assurance goes a long way to that verification. For well-functioning organizations, you need good trust between all the people in different levels and all the people in different teams.
Yeah, and I think you're bringing up some very good points there. So one of the things that this concept of assurance does is it really provides our stakeholders with the confidence that the organization is doing what it says it does. If we ask our auditors, including asset manager and auditors and assessors, to provide an assessment of the state of the organization, one of the things that we're really looking for is an independent look at how the organization is following those prescribed processes and aligning to the strategic objectives. We know that boards of directors or the investment community are not focused on the details of the day-to-day transactions and activities, nor should they be or have access to all the underlying details to be able to assess that independently. They're really relying on that audit function to provide that assurance that the organization is following those processes that are designed to meet those objectives. If we go back to my earlier example there, one of the key things that we said is that assurance is about the level of confidence in the organization to meet its objectives to deliver value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, an old boss of mine once said, he, you know, and this was in reference to kind of performance management, but it also applies to assurance. And, you know, this is kind of in the context of traffic lights, you know, red, yellow, green, right, which we have often in our dashboards. And he said, I want to see the red. Those are cherries of opportunity, right? Because if you don't want to see the red, then there's not much you can do about it, right? So, you know, that kind of sometimes flips things on its head because we're incentivized to want to be green all the time. But if everything shows green, then there's nothing left to do and there's no way we can improve. And I think improvement is kind of the job number one. You talked a little bit about auditing as a function, and I think that's important, but I've also seen it used as kind of a heavy-handed stick. sometimes organizations can rely a bit too heavily on the audit function to actually find and correct those gaps and shortcuts in our activities and processes. And, you know, that's fine and well, but that can be a very passive and really a reactive management approach. It would be much better to proactively, you know, set clear guidance and concise expectations of what needs to be done up front so that you don't have to kind of find out much later down the line that we didn't do what we said we'd do, or the quality isn't there, or the completeness isn't there in our business processes. You know, it's better to kind of find out earlier than later in that.
Yeah, I always tend to think of it as kind of like the soccer coach that's coaching the team, guiding the team to get better every time they go out to practice and play a game versus the ref who's holding up the red card. So we need a combination, but we're really trying to get better at getting better.
That's good. All right. So let's turn our attention not from just the challenges with assurance, but what are some of the things that we can do to make sure that our organization has good assurance and governance practices?
I think one of the first ones is really looking at our performance management review. So have we assessed the organization's asset management capabilities? Are we doing what we said we would do? Are we getting the expected results? When we review our performance metrics periodically, it helps us to identify risks, opportunities to deliver against those strategic objectives. It's really about this concept of management review and reporting to communicate the story behind the metrics numbers so that everyone has an understanding of how they came together and how the different performance indicators work together to help us move the dial on our key performance indicators for the overall strategy.
Right, which will ultimately get us the business results that we end up earning, right?
Absolutely.
I think the second one is audit, and we've kind of introduced that idea already, but maybe I'll define it a little bit more. Really, what we're wondering for audit is, are we following our own business practices to the standards that we set? Are we meeting all internal and external obligations, including compliance requirements and quality and assuring asset integrity? Are we meeting regulatory compliance and our social governance commitments? And how are we demonstrating this? How do we find out whether or not we are doing everything we said we'd do? Do we have a systematic way of going and seeking and finding, or are we kind of managing by exception where we only list the stuff that we know about? I think it's important that, you know, good asset managers and management systems have a way of systematically going and looking and seeking out problems and opportunities rather than just, you know, waiting until these problems kind of tap you on the shoulder and say, here I am, do something about me. So yeah, I think one of the key differentiators between good asset management and otherwise is, are you managing systematically or are you managing by exception? And I think that applies to audit.
Yeah, and I think that the other thing that comes along with that starts to be this concept of innovation and improvement. So it really focuses on both taking advantage of the opportunities uncovered during this performance management review, assessments, and metrics, as well as the ongoing sustainment and PDCA or Plan, Do, Check, Act for our asset management system. First up, I really see with our focus on delivering value from our assets, often these asset management assessments are the first opportunity to see the interaction between teams and where we can do better. Our frontline practitioners may instinctively feel that things could be done better, but daylighting these opportunities through performance assessments, metrics, helps us to pinpoint where additional operational value can be realized, and then also to quantify how much value there is there and should we chase it down. We may discover we need to update our business processes and practices as a result, which kind of links back to that assurance concept of say what we do, do what we say, and prove it. And the second thing that we also need to think about in this context of innovation and improvement is, how well are we doing at managing our asset management system? Where can we improve the actual system? Where could we innovate to take it to the next level? We're starting to move towards operational excellence and driving those business results against our strategic objectives. but how do we innovate and improve? We can't be standing still doing what we did 20 years ago. We need to keep moving forward.
No, you're right. The bar is always being set higher by the, you know, the top performers. So, you know, if you're standing still, you're falling behind. So we need to continuously improve and innovate in order to not just meet our goals, but to, you know, create more value for our stakeholders.
I think one of the best quotes I heard was, yesterday's excellence is today's standard is tomorrow's mediocrity. And I think when we start to move forward on some of this, that's really what we're talking about for this innovation and improvement.
Yeah, absolutely. So like so far we've covered performance management, audit, innovation, improvement. There's another one that I like to add that not everybody adds to kind of a governance function. And for me, decisions are important. So I like to include tracking decisions, action, and results, because I think that's an important part of asset management. And we're going to talk more about decision making specifically in other episodes, of course. But, you know, are we being intentional and mechanistic and discrete with our decision making? Because a lot of organizations don't record their decisions. We record our actions, but there's not generally strong linkage between the decision, the action, and the result, you know, value chain. So are we recording our decisions? Are we executing our actions with the requisite kind of volume, quality, and completeness? And are we linking our actions to value? Are we developing a track record of decision quality with our teams? I think that kind of underpins a lot of asset management, because what we're talking about is the coordinated activities of the organization to create value from our assets. So, you know, I always say there's two types of activities. There's transactions, the tasks that need to be done. And of course, you know, that occupies a lot of our time. But there's also the second type of activities, and those are the decisions. And I think organizations would do well by managing their decisions very, very deliberately. And so I like to track the decisions, actions, and results, because I've learned the most important decision you will make is how you will make your decisions. And if you don't track those decisions, actions, results, then you're not going to understand and have assurance that what you're choosing to do in terms of activities is going to have the desired effect. So those are kind of the key elements for us when we talk about assurance within kind of a governance framework within your asset management system. And I'm sure there's a few other topics that we could continue on talking about assurance, which, you know, again, is one of our fundamental tenets of asset management. But we'll stop here for today. I want to thank Susan for joining us, and thank you, listeners. Join us again next episode when we will begin the first of our 6 landscape subject areas. We'll start with asset management strategy and planning. Thanks, Susan.
Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
This podcast is part of the Asseteers community, a safe destination for leaders to explore, share, and learn about asset management, and to sharpen your competencies from a carefully curated body of knowledge. This community contains valuable content, including a blog, podcast, publications, webinars, live events, training, and learning. Please join our community as an active member at theasseteers.org. Please also subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast service app. The Asseteers podcast is presented by CO Asset Management. CO empowers leaders to see, think, decide, act in directing the activities of your organization to deliver more value from the same assets with fewer resources. CO provides an enterprise operational management system framework solution, improving the leadership experience to manage, lead, and govern through more better decisions. This podcast is produced by Nicholas Dost. Original music, Aurora Borealis by Scott Henderson. Content in this podcast is presented as information only. No advice is given. Listeners use at their own discretion and risk.